April is National Poetry Month, and poetry enthusiasts around Vermont have embraced the occasion with readings and new publications. This month is also when nominations are open for Vermont's next Poet Laureate. The four-year term comes with a whopping $1,000 honorarium, but it does give the appointed poet a chance to spread the word about his craft. Vermont's current laureate, Sidney Lee of Newbury, has spent his time promoting the literary forum at libraries around the state. He'll retire from the position in a few months when the next Poet Laureate takes the helm, so we checked in to see how he's reflecting on his tenure.
Oh, I've really liked it. I've really liked it a lot. As you know, traveling to community libraries, I've done, I think, 107 of them. Every visit has been a treat and a novelty in some unanticipated way each time. So I've really had a good time in this position, and hope that I may have carried the torch for poetry a little bit. Needless to say, given the kind of fare that one sees in a lot of the glossy magazines nowadays, people may be well inclined, and I include myself in that company, to think that poetry is nutty and incomprehensible.
But not so, you think?
Well, I've tried to wave the banner for another kind of poetry, which also exists out there, practiced by the likes of my pal Ellen Bryant Voigt and other poets like B.H. Fairchild, and there are all kinds of Wesley McNair, the poet laureate of Maine, is still writing poems that people can actually understand and I think be moved by.
And, of course, Ellen Bryant Voigt also in the hallowed halls of...
She is indeed.
Vermont Poet Laureates. Poets Laureate, excuse me. You know, when you started, I remember we were talking about all the libraries that you wanted to make sure you got to, and you were hoping to reach all of them, weren't you?
I was, and I fell short of that mission, although I visited over 100 of them. Certain number, I suppose. Well, obviously, that weren't interested, but those that were interested always managed to bring reasonable crowds, even in the smallest of towns, and always seemed to have people on hand who were genuinely curious and interested and interesting in themselves. So it's been a great experience. It's amongst other things, it's sort of steeled me in my Vermont chauvinism. This is a great place with a lot of great people in it.
I imagine when you do these events, you get people who bring their own poems to you.
In some cases, for the most part, what I've done has been to go and talk about poetry, and not merely read my own work, but to read other people's work as well, and then to speak about what I think poetry can accomplish that maybe other modes of discourse cannot, and also to demystify it a little bit. You know, I think so many people, including myself until rather late along in my life as beginning poets go, so many of us are discouraged by the way we're taught poetry. We're always supposed to look at it as, you know, a vehicle for symbolism or what students always like to call deeper meanings or messages or ideas, you know, and that takes a little bit of the play and the artfulness out of poetry and the mystery out of poetry. I don't think that poetry is reducible to messages. I always loved the great predecessor's comment, Robert Frost, said, if you're looking for a message, call Western Union.
You know, it's hard, though, because there's this sense that if it is truly accessible and open to everybody and loved by everybody, it's not as good.
Well, I know that's, but I think that you know, and I, mind you, I speak as a veteran of 43 years of academia myself, so I'm not trying to be sanctimonious because sometimes I err in this, have erred in the past in this direction myself. But, you know, the notion that poetry that isn't difficult has somehow to be a poetry that's been dumbed down is simply nonsense. You know, I was speaking of Ellen's poems. I mean, they're entirely accessible in the sense that everybody can get something out of them on first reading, and yet they repay every bit of attention you can give them over years of scrutiny. And the same with Frost. If anybody thinks that Frost is a simple-minded poet, they just haven't read him very carefully.
So, Sid, you've still got a couple more months left. This is, I guess, sort of your lame duck portion of your 4 years. What do you still want to accomplish?
Well, I've got, I think, five more libraries lined up. I continue to write my monthly columns for Burlington Free Press, the Times Argus, and the Valley News over in our part of the state. I keep really being energized by my conversations with people at the libraries. I find that somehow or another their curiosity and sometimes even their confusion seems oddly generative to me. It seems to make me want to write more and more accessibly. So there's a way in which being poet laureate profoundly affected my life, in the sense that it introduced me to a whole lot of people whom I might not otherwise have met. But there's also a way in which my life has remained very much the same. I'm still a poet first and foremost, I suppose, at least in the artistic dimension of my life. I'm also a doting parent and now grandparent five times over. So there always seems plenty to do, and the rest of life goes on, and I'm enjoying it to the full. You know, at 72, it makes good sense to keep one's eye on the present.
Well, and of course, there's, I think it's what, $1,000 honorarium you receive, so that's clearly a life changer as well.
Well, yes, of course, I bought that condo down in Acapulco with that right away, lest I spend it all in one place elsewhere.
So the applications presumably are rolling in for the next Poet Laureate, or the nominations, I should say. What advice do you have for the next person who takes the helm?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to advise because, I mean, there's such a range of people. I haven't seen any of the nominations. I've been tapped for the selection committee, which I will happily serve on. But there are a vast slew of sort of middle-aged poets and even some younger poets. And then one of my favorite poets in the state is Jean Connor. She'll turn 97 this summer. So, you know, my immediate predecessor, Ruth Stone, is a marvelous writer. I'm so glad that she got that honor. But being appointed at 92 and being blind to boot, there was not a lot she could do. So I think it'll depend a lot on the interests and the energies of whoever succeeds me. But I would hope, not necessarily following in my footsteps with libraries, but that the next Poet Laureate would seek venues which were not conventional. And I was really particularly interested in taking poetry into other venues. There's lots of stuff out there. There are prisons, there are high schools, there are even elementary schools. Indeed, yesterday I went up and visited my granddaughter's first grade elementary school class at Champlain Elementary. I have to confess, I was more nervous going into that class than I was when I read before the Library of Congress. But
kids are a tough audience.
So I hope the next he or she will be his or her own man or woman, but I hope that they will keep that notion alive, that to be the state poet means that you're talking to as wide a sampling of Vermont citizenry as you're able to manage, whatever your strategy may be.
Sidney Lee is Vermont's Poet Laureate for another 6 months or so. Sid, thank you very much for talking with us.
Always good to talk to you, Jane. Bye-bye.
Vermont's previous Poets Laureate were Ruth Stone, Grace Paley, Ellen Bryant Voigt, Louis Gluck, Galway Cannell, and Robert Frost. The Vermont Arts Council is accepting nominations for the next Poet Laureate to join their esteemed ranks. We have a link for details at vpr.net.